Okay, I'm going to call to order the Finance Committee meeting for November 9th, starting at 5 p.m. Howard Allestor.
Nate Fries.
Richard Burrows.
Debbie Zupan. I didn't think I was part.
Bonnie Caulfield.
Hi, Jeff.
That was Rich.
Ken Rich.
Was it Ken?
Ken, we weren't expecting him.
Ken, you were given a hall pass. You don't have to come anymore.
Well, I'm just going to check on Bonnie. I'll talk with her, so I'll be here to support tonight.
Jeff, acknowledge your presence.
Oh, yep, I'm here. Sorry.
Was that Honeycutt?
Yeah. All right, so we have quorum. Has everybody had time to review the minutes from the last meeting?
Yes.
Any changes or modifications that need to be made?
No.
Okay, all those in favor, all those that approve the minutes from the last meeting, say aye.
Aye.
All those that disapprove, say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. All right. Review October, review October financials. And any questions?
Yeah, I had a question on the first page, really. It says it's projected for October. I guess it would be page 4. I'm sorry.
Oh, I probably just didn't change it.
So that's actual then?
Yes.
Okay. So we had 723,000 in revenue, 657,000 in expenditures, and imbalance of 708,000.
Yes, and that's just in your operating fund.
Right. Okay. Okay. That was that question. I had a few call outs down like individual line items. I'm not sure if we're ready for that yet, but just overall, I guess the question I had was, from y'all's perspective, how do we do this month?
I think we're doing fine. I don't foresee any problems or anything. Everything seems to be rolling on pretty smoothly. So,
any surprise?
I was going through the budget today, and there's some categorical funds and things, some federal funds that we need to make sure we spend, you know, money from.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a healthy budget, and we, especially with those federal funds, we want to spend those first. So I've got a list started, and I'm going to kind of let everybody know what we've got and what we should work on spending, for instance. And like in the early childhood special ed, there's a couple of funds there. One's a federal fund, one's an operating fund. We need to spend some of that, some Title I money and some Title IV money we need to spend. So
do we have like a drop dead date we have to spend that? Is it sometime this year?
No, but you get reimbursed for those, most of those federal funds. So you want to try to spend it so you can get your money, you know, get your money that's due. And we can't carry over a lot of money. We need to make sure we spend as much as we can out of those categorical in the federal funds.
So Bonnie, when we get our next allocation from the Arkansas Department of Education through the SAM.gov, will you be able to tell if we've made up the September amount that we didn't get while we were still waiting for a renewal of that?
Yes.
Okay.
I think we should be fine. It didn't appear that there would be a problem. I'm not sure when they, seems like it's around the 13th of the month or something, isn't
That's
it?
That's right. They do a poll. Between the 9th and the 15th. So if you can just keep an eagle eye out to make sure we get 2 months.
Okay.
As opposed to one.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
And they're reimbursing us for the CARES Act, the ESSER money. We've gotten some reimbursement on it, haven't we, Debbie? Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and then Debbie and I talked about special money. It's also a federal fund. It's going to be Fund 6788. And we may have talked about this last month. but it's money. It's the difference between what, not counting any ending or beginning balance or anything. It's what we spent last school year, as opposed to how much revenue we took in the food service fund and for child nutrition. And it's about $7,200. And that money can be used for like paying off our next Aramark bill, paying part of that $7,200 towards that. So that means that money will come out of the federal fund and we won't have to spend that money out of the regular food service fund that's in operating.
So Bonnie, when I looked at, I'm just doing this by memory, I apologize. When you look at the 2021 projection sheet, it shows an ending balance in June of next year of $488,398.48. And the last time I saw that, it was somewhere around $438,000.
Right.
I just wonder, where did the $50,000 more come from? Is it because of reimbursements?
Just some different changes in budgets and expectations and
we didn't spend as much as projected. Is that what you're thinking?
Well, and I could have lowballed the projection too, but I think part of it may have been the reasoning that we don't typically spend 100% of what's budgeted. So I think that's probably where that came from.
As I look, and that kind of drives to some of the questions I had. If you guys don't mind, I can share my screen and show you.
Okay.
We had a negative $20,000 expenditure for computer tablets.
I recoded that. That had come out of operating, and I recoded it to a federal or categorical fund. I can't remember which now.
Okay, so just move from one to the one.
Yes, yes.
Okay, because I was saying that was $20,000.
And that's done by a journal entry.
Okay.
You move an expenditure.
This looked okay. Arts consulting. So it looks like the arts consulting group, we had a refund of 70.
No, that's not a refund. That you see that account code that's underneath the word fund. That 63900 that's under the word fund.
Yes.
Well, AppScan doesn't want us to use that code anymore.
Okay.
When we first started this purchase order for the arts consulting group, it was okay to use that. So that just got moved down. If you'll look under the 65910, I'm sure it's included in that.
Yeah, 8100. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
He understands that.
Okay. This one right here, I'm making an assumption here, but this is an expenditure of $6,400 for Space Camp. Was this reimbursements for?
It sure was. Okay. And then there are about $92 in the negative right now. Okay. And I know that the principals are working on clearing up their negative accounts right now. We figured out what to do with some of the digital 7124, I believe, was, I don't know how much was in the negative in October, but right now it's in the negative. And we can recode that to an operating fund that is a digital grant. I've been talking to Heather about that today.
Okay. And one of the last ones here, for food services, we had an other category of $5,000.
That is the way they break down that Aramark bill.
I think we talked about that before. I just wanted to confirm.
Yes. Yeah. That's one of the codes that 65710, 65720, and 65730.
Yep.
That's the way that we break down the, and I think that other is an administrative cost, Nate. I'm not even sure what
it's administrative and disposables.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, we should have asked the food service expert. Sorry, David.
We're using more disposables because we're packaging meals for virtual students.
Okay.
And at the beginning of the year, it's always higher because that's when they stock up on napkins and things like that. Okay. And the labor costs were higher last month because typically they go from the 20th of the previous month to the 19th of the current month and bill me for that time period. And last month they billed me all the way till the end of September. So that's why that labor costs are so much higher.
And then you see those codes that we're talking about right now, that's that Aramark bill that we were also saying that we can code part of this $7,217 when we get our next bill, right, won't come out of this fund.
We'll easily make up the deficit this month.
Okay.
It's their costs are a little higher at the beginning of the year because they're stocking up on disposables and consumables that go bad.
Okay. And go ahead another here. What is this one? Okay, this was just that thing's in the way. But essentially, we've got a negative balance on teacher salary fund. And I was just, you may have before.
You may not, you're probably not familiar with this. The way that ARTS does if you'll look down, the money that's in 2200, the money that is in there, eventually, I don't know why I can't, my thoughts are not working. Maybe I need another drink of tea. So this, you run this in the negative, and the way ARTS does it, at the end of the year, then that money is going to get transferred from that operating amount that's there, the 2600. It will be built up, but it's charged out of fund 1200, but you always clear it out. Some schools prefer to do it on a monthly basis.
Okay.
It's a transfer to clear that out, but all of your, you don't get any revenue in any of the funds that start with a one. Your money for teacher salary comes in the fund two.
Got it.
But like I said, some schools choose to do it monthly on a monthly basis.
This one right here, then this operating 2.6 million.
Well, it's going to be more than that at the end of the year.
But for right now, that's the one you're talking about, though. It comes out of that one.
Yes.
Okay. And Rich and board members, Bonnie gave you two options. You know, I guess historically you guys have done it at the end of the year, made that transfer. You can make that journal entry each month. Bonnie may knock me in the head for this, but our district, we always did it every month because our board members certainly didn't like to see those negative numbers, and I didn't like seeing the negative numbers either. So I like to journal entry that out at the end of every month, but every board's different.
Well, and also, Ken, remember what we're faced with is EBSCN has to approve all of our journal entries. So until the last payroll's done at the end of the month, you don't know how much that is going to be.
Yeah,
and it's highly unlikely that EBSCN is going to get to the approval. What they do is I enter the journal entry, then they have to go in and give me securities to do it. And then once I do, they watch me do it, and then they take it away. And they do that with I think, every charter school, don't they, Ken?
Yeah, and I've asked for a release from that for all charter schools. It seems to me to be a little bit too much oversight from the state on a few things. So we're working on that. And I've been told by the deputy commissioner we'll have some information on that real soon.
Okay. Well, good. And that's one reason I think probably why it wasn't done in the past, because, you know, they were at the mercy of what EBSCN, you know, how soon they could get to it, I guess I should say.
I don't know, Howard and Jeff. Once it's available, do we want to do that monthly? Does it make sense?
It's probably not going to come out that month. It would probably be after the fact, if I were guessing.
Yeah.
And especially near the end of the school year and the beginning of the school year, I waited almost 2 months for some journal entry approvals at the end of the year. So, because they have, like, the person that would have to help me with EBSCN has 40 school districts that she has to help and deal with. So,
but if we can get released from that, then it shouldn't be an issue, should it? To get it done. Bonnie?
I'm sorry, Ken, I couldn't hear you.
If we get released from that.
That'd be great. Yeah. Okay. I don't have a problem with doing it. In fact, for 29 years, I did my own journal entry. So this has been like a, you know, something I've been having to get used to also.
Okay. The reason for that, let me just explain that to Rich and board members that may not know why it's been the case. the state had a little extra oversight on small charter schools for sure. So it kind of got expanded to almost all charter schools. And the difficulties that some of the business managers were having in small charter schools was that they weren't handling the finances correctly. So that's one of the reasons actually APSRC stepped into the game as well to be involved was that reason. But I believe the state is feeling more and more confident in what's going on. I believe we'll get that that requirement taken away. If we don't get it taken away for every charter school, I believe we'll get it taken away for the charter schools that APSRC is working with in this capacity.
So Ken, is there anything that we can provide you that would add fuel to promoting that to the folks you're talking to?
Well, I think I think not at this time, probably, Rich. We're already up to the deputy commissioner level, so she's very aware, and she's been supportive. She's meeting with her team at this time to talk about the reasons for it. So if I get an answer of no, then yeah, I want some reinforcement from everyone.
Okay, thank you.
I think that was, just run through real quick. Yeah, that was it for the specific questions, I guess, just for our sake, Rich and Debbie, like what are some of the things that you've identified as misses that we should probably keep a close eye on, if any, for the next, for the rest of the year? What are some of the go-gets for next month? That some big expenditures maybe that maybe we're not aware of, or are there anything like that that we can just open discussion? That's all I had. I don't know if Howard and Jeff had anything additional, but just more.
Most of the notes that I had made are things you've already called out. There's only one other question I had, and that was one item called Chalk Talk. I did a little research. It was $9,500. It looks like it's a remote learning tool, but I just wasn't sure. I was going to ask and get a better feel for what that was.
I think in what you've identified are really some of the exact conversations we're having as we're now half year into our virtual learning experiences, both with staff, with parents, and with students, and the effectiveness of some over others. And so we're in the throes of having conversations about what is the better mousetrap that we can be looking at for remote learning. We're learning as even students are learning, and parents are learning how to help students. So those are costs that seem a little unsure at this particular point. And in the same vein, our ability to project or find a more stabilized COVID positive, COVID tracing, that our numbers keep going up in terms of numbers of people who are in quarantine. And so all of that adds additional cost to us, both in subs and others. And it's unpredictable to us. We can only be reactive to it. And it's putting a great deal of strain on parents and students when we have to send them home for virtual. And then we have to figure out ways to keep them engaged. So I think maybe by February or so, we'll have a better handle on that. I also hope that by February, we've sort of missed whatever the height of the flu and COVID season might be. So those are the two things I think we're going to be looking at, as well as in the short and the near term, as we begin to prepare budgets for next year, will be what are our staffing needs as we look at the enrollment trends. And what's the date, Debbie, that we do the lottery? February 23rd?
I'd have to look. I think it's the second week of February. So it is the 23rd.
It is February 23rd is when we do the lottery to determine how many spots we have and how many might be interested. And in fact, we picked that date to be the same date as other charter schools are announcing their lotteries in the local region as a courtesy to parents, so they wouldn't have to wait to make a choice between us or someone else or vice versa, so that whatever the decision is, everybody will know, at least in the local region, what the lottery opportunities are. So those are really the only things we're looking at this particular point.
Hey, Rich, you brought that up. That was another thing I want to talk. So it looks like we went down a few students. Are we specifically, we had a few in the elementary, second and third grade, I think. Are we able to recruit midway through the year? Is that a practice that we've done in the past? Like we brought kids on midway through the year that were on the waiting list, or something we just don't do? Or I'm just curious on that one.
So yes, we do. And certainly because we have 1,000 names on a waiting list, we can certainly fill the slots we have. Yeah. The only mitigation for that is that if we refill to our complete level, it does challenge our social distancing and the spaces that we have in our schools right now, which are somewhat balanced because of a little bit of a drop in enrollment. So increasing numbers of students doesn't necessarily improve the instructional strategies because we can't figure out where to put them.
Rich, so, do I understand this correctly, that the cycle two enrollment of 1,204 students is what we're going to be funded on this year?
Are you on first year funding?
First year, pardon me?
Did you add a grade or did you add a campus or anything like that?
No.
Did not?
No. We'll have growth money of 100 and something students.
It's the third quarter average.
Yeah, you're funded on last year's three quarter average.
Okay.
I was pulling up your state aid notice.
Next year, she said.
Yeah.
I mean, is it appropriate to offer only virtual to those kids? I don't know.
It is. I think that's what they're doing.
Okay. Yeah. To the additional one, I'm thinking to the additional.
Right. And up to this point, Nate, we've provided them with the total opportunities for learning alternatives in person, blended, or virtual. And so I don't know if it's to our advantage to simply get the numbers and then have them stay at home when it doesn't really reflect the mission of the organization. How do you participate in arts activities if your first experience is virtual? So. I mean, we're pretty close to our cap at this point, and I think we just have to look at what it's about. To be quite frank, I think there are people who are going through a virtual fatigue, and they may be looking for other alternatives for their students, not because they don't love the academy, but that it's just, you know, the seesaw back and forth between in person and virtual, and sometimes going to virtual when we have a spike in cases is difficult for parents because there's nothing that feels reliable to them because we're only reacting to the situations as they occur. And as the current reports show, most of what's happening in terms of spikes is coming from community and not from infections or contacts that occur at the school during the school day. So those are our challenges at this point.
Sure. Jeff Howard, I don't have anything else. Those are the questions I had.
Nothing else for me.
Yeah, so you asked the question around enrollment that I was concerned about. I would say if there's a number of students that decide to leave the school, do we know what that the number that would leave that would put us into a critical situation?
I think that even if at in the near or at the end of the school year future that students or families decide to leave the district, that we have plenty to fill the spaces that we have available. And by the next school year with a much stronger position about what kind of instructional strategies we use for our virtual opportunities, I think we'll be able to maintain and keep those who come in to fill the available spots.
Okay, good deal. And then about around capital expenditures, I don't think we had anything on the list for this year, but my recommendation would be that we start gathering a list of things that we may need to cover in the next school year.
Right.
Other than that, I don't think I have any other questions.
Bonnie, I didn't know if you wanted to update the Finance Committee on the status of the audit.
Oh, okay. They were going to come in October. Then they changed to the week before Thanksgiving. They were going to come on the 23rd. Now they've asked if they can come Monday the 16th. And when they first were talking about it, they had talked about staying a couple of days. Well, I'll be there too, so I'm not sure how long they'll actually be there, but they had 33 or 34 line items that they sent me, and I have given them reports online. Some of those included several reports under one line item, so I probably sent them 50 or 60 pieces of information. So we'll see how it goes.
It's always a grab bag, isn't it?
It's going to be new for me because I've always worked with the Division of Legislative Audit through the state. So I'm kind of anxious to see, you know, how it goes with the private auditor. So.
Okay.
So that's Monday. 1 week.
Thanks, Bonnie.
You're welcome. And I'm sure I'll be driving Debbie and Terry crazy saying, do y'all know where this is? Help me find. We already found some stuff the other day about 2 or 3 weeks ago, didn't we? That we looked for.
Yeah.
We'll be right behind you, Bonnie.
I appreciate that.
Pushing.
I'm going to put you on speed dial.
Debbie, I went back and pulled up your last, what you're funded off of, your student count from last year, third quarter average, 1,110 students is what you're being funded on. And an important thing for that is every quarter this year, quarters 1, 2, and 3, that you're above that average, then you get paid growth money. So that growth money comes in the form of 1/4 of foundation funding for the number of students you're over each of those quarters. So obviously, I know you got a lot of worries about COVID and keeping people separated, but the more students you have, the better the growth funding is for quarters 1, 2, and 3. And you got to have $56,000 in growth funding coming, you know, from the fourth quarter of last year.
So the three-quarter average was 1,100 and what?
It's 1,110. Okay. 0.87.
0.87?
Yes.
Okay.
So we have an all district staff meeting tomorrow, which includes principals. So it's district staff and principals, and I'll bring this conversation up to see if there are ways that we can improve the enrollments right now.
Right now, are y'all at 1204? Is that correct, Debbie? Does that sound right? Or did
that's
you?
What the state pulled on the 15th. I think we are at about 1187. If off the top of my head, when I did the report a couple days ago.
Okay.
All right. Any further discussion?
Nothing for me.
Good. All right. Good job, everyone. I will take a motion to adjourn.
So made.
First and the second. All those in favor say aye.
Hi.
We are adjourned.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Thank you.
Tomorrow.
Yep.
Tomorrow.